The following program brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities. The opinions expressed by the members of CFCI and their guests should not be construed as specific investment, legal, or tax advice. All economic and performance information is historical and not indicative of future results. Investing may involve the risk of loss of principal, and any tax advice on the show is not intended to be used by any persons for the purpose of avoiding U.S. federal or state tax. Penalties that may be imposed on such persons and each listener should seek advice from their tax advisor or legal counsel on topics that arise from the show. The representatives of CFCI and their guests are not providing legal or tax advice, and nothing should be construed as a solicitation to offer or buy securities. Now enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome to the big show, Your Money with David Hayes. We're going to have Eric Geisler on today. Big E, he hasn't been on for a while, and we want to get his perspective on, you know, I asked him earlier today, what is it that you worry the most about, okay? And then what is it that you worry the least about? We'll hear what Eric has to say here in just a few minutes. We have some other things we're going to be talking about today. One is, you know, they're back. The kids and students are coming back. Saturday at our Hayes Market Project downtown, which has gotten a lot of local notoriety with listeners and newspaper readers alike, start to move people in on Saturday. So my family will be there to greet these students and their parents as they come in. And if you're interested in seeing what the old Hayes Market looks like and you're out and about on Saturday, drive by. And if it's not crowded full of people, which I don't anticipate to be because we have things kind of staged out, I understand, stop in and see us and walk up, check out the old building, check out the new building, and, you know, just say hi. So it'll be hopefully a nice day Saturday. I haven't even checked the weather yet, but I don't even worry about weather. I don't worry about most things. People at the office know there's two things I don't worry about, the big things and the little things, but everything in between I usually just delegate to somebody else. It seems to work out pretty well that way for me. Let's do a little news of the week brought to you by the Like Law Group. Give yourself and your family the peace of mind that comes with proper estate planning. Call Lance at the Like Law Group, 812-323-8300. Kenny Blaine Auctions. They're your full-service auction service offering the pre-planning, the sale of your estate or real estate. Visit them online at KennyBlaineAuctions.com. If you're interested in silver and silver coins, I know for a fact that he has stuff on his auction site right now to buy silver dollars and silver bars and things like that. Seems to be an interest for a lot of people right now based on what I've been seeing the price of those things do. And also, if you need a new roof, do what I did. Call Steve's Roofing and Sheet Metal. They do a great job, and they do it at a fair price. They're online at stevesroofingco.com or 812-824-3006. Just Google Steve's Roofing. That's the easiest thing to do. Before Election Day, here comes from By the Numbers. The S&P 500 has lost, on average, 1.1%. over the 3 months leading up to the last 8 presidential elections. Lord, I hope that still stays the same, because 1.1 doesn't sound very bad at all. The NASDAQ composite closed at an all-time high of 10,767 back on Monday, July 20th. It's the 12th record close since the national emergency was declared in the United States back in the middle of March. The 10-year Treasury note, it closed above 2% back in July 31st of 19. That's a year ago. Every day since then, the yield on the 10-year has been below 2% and has been below 1% each day since the 19th of March this year. This thing's been around for a long time, but from 1946 to the end of 2011, the 10-year Treasury had never been below 2%. That's going to be part of the discussion that we have with Eric. How long can rates stay this low? Cheap money. On a national average, the interest rate for a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage at the middle of July was only 2.98%. That was a record low. That basically means for every $100,000 borrowed, you're going to pay $421 a month. That's ridiculously cheap, and that's one of the reasons prices of homes have gone up. You know, it's all about payments, all that debt coverage ratios. We talked about that, I think, a couple weeks ago. You know, if a person used to be able to afford $200,000 and now they can $300,000 because rates are so low, guess what they're going to buy? A $300,000 home. And that's why there's none on the market right now. Now, the national rate did go up above 3% at the end of July here in the last week or so. So I wouldn't go in expecting to get a 3% rate and get mad at your banker. Remember, your credit score matters. This is for usually the best credit scores. If you have one that's lower, then you're going to pay more. It's just the way the world goes. The five largest banks in the U.S. announced in mid-July, this is kind of a telltale sign, their plans to set aside $35 billion to prepare for what could be a wave of future defaults and corporate bankruptcies. And then lastly, between the 1st of March and the end of June, American hospitals lost $51 billion per month of revenue due to canceled and foregone medical services. You know, all those elective procedures were off the table. And that's why when you hear, oh, the ICU is full, it's probably full of people with the heart problems that they had worked on, okay? That's what happens. They go to the ICU. I have had one of my doctor friends who walks the ER for, well, not for me, but I ask him to, maybe it is for me, and tell me how many are in the ICU, how many are COVID patients, how many new admits have you had? And honestly, folks, it's not been alarming at all. So the news you hear secondhand, thirdhand, even from officials, I don't believe anything. I'm a trust and verify guy, and I'm not a spreader of rumor kind of guy. So anything you hear me say, it comes from firsthand people that have seen it firsthand, and they're people that I trust, okay? So if you trust me, then you're going to trust that. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about the CARES Act. I know it's been on this show quite a bit lately. And then also more stimulus coming. What does that look like, and what does it mean for you? We'll be back. This is Your Money with David Hayes. We were just talking last night about trying to plan a vacay, maybe in February, to a tropical island that plays music like that, and you can get away from everything, you know. But I just haven't pulled the trigger yet. But last night, is that we went to dinner and saw some friends and said, "Hey, what are you up to?" Well, they're booking cruises and all kinds of stuff for late this year and early next year, and they are cheap, according to what I was told. But I haven't really had any real feeling or desire to do that for some reason, and I hate that because that's the way that the world works, man. People have to get out and do things and spend money, and that's what drives the economy. More on that in a little bit with Eric Giesler. All right, the CARES Act. You know, part of the CARES Act, we kind of skated over this, was if you're having some issues and you need some money, regardless of your age, you can go into your retirement accounts, your 401ks, and get up to $100,000. You still have to pay the tax, but guess what? You have up to 3 years to pay the tax on it. Or you can roll it back in between now and 3 years. Or just keep it and pay the tax, but no penalty. So I actually had a cousin who was in kind of a bind, and she called me basically needing a floater, as my family calls it. If you need a few a few hundred bucks to get you by a week or two, call Uncle David. He'll give you a floater. That seems to be the way it goes in our family. You might be that person in your family too. But anyway, nonetheless, I'm like, hey, you know, I know you have money in the 401k. This could be a way to bail you out, and that's what she did. She was able to get a hold of Fidelity. And within just a couple of days, she had a check for what she needed. And again, she'll have up to 3 years to either put it back in or pay the tax or whatever, but no penalty. So I thought that was something that I haven't talked about, but I probably should have here on this show. Now, more stimulus coming. They're working on this right now. It looks like more PPP, possibly more money going one-time stimulus checks to people that make under a certain amount of money. Maybe this PPP is more directed to businesses that actually need it the most, you know, restaurants, hotels, things like that. Could even be money going to municipalities and states. Could be to hospitals, like I mentioned before. American hospitals lost $51 billion, that's with a B, per month of revenue due to the cancellation. You know, none of this was their fault. I mean, we, as a society, as a government, whoever decided to do what we've done, did it, and they had to make a choice between health and human safety and economics. And again, I go back to 2009 when we had another, big outbreak. I believe it was SARS. I'm getting them all confused now, but I think it was SARS. And we really didn't do anything that we're doing now. We let it run its course. And I don't want to argue about the differences between the two. That's not my point. My point is to say we have to make choices. So now we made the choice to shut everything down, go into this economic coma that we've been in, and now we're trying to wake up. And I said this many weeks ago that you don't wake up out of a coma and take off onto a sprint. You wake up, you get on a little cane, and you walk down the hallway, and you know, you might have some relapses. Your arms probably really won't work like they did, your legs. And that's what we're seeing with this economy. We're seeing things wake up slowly, having to go back into a little bit of a coma, back out. I mean, and this is different for everybody all around the country. But that's what is happening, and that's why more stimulus is coming. Now, later after we talk to Eric, I'm going to talk more about the importance of understanding where we are as a country from a financial perspective, where we're likely to go, and what things you need to do to prepare for that, because that's going to be a really big part of this, is how to take care of yourself and your family. I mean, it's even in the Bible, folks, that's the first place you need to start taking care of is yourself and your family, then worry about everybody else. So we're gonna deal with a lot of things when we talk about that coming forward. Then we're going to have questions of the week. Have 6 people that submitted questions, and we're going to use all of them this week. If you'd like to submit a question, you just go to cfci@cfci.us. That's the email, cfci@cfci.us. And if I'm wrong, just Google us. You'll find us. I feel like that's correct. I only say that a million times, right? Anyway, I get things wrong. And I'm recording this show on Thursday because Thursday I got booted to the curb by the Reds. They're at 6 o'clock. But I went in and came in to do the show because I do it every Thursday. And then they'll play it on Saturday morning at 9, and then it will be up on the website, WGCOradio.com, and then Google Play and iTunes. Hopefully that'll all work out. All right, what else when it comes to the CARES Act and more stimulus coming? One of the things I wanted to talk about, and I'll take a quick break. What does this stimulus mean for you? What does it mean for the economy? What does it mean for the market? Well, understand, once again, that the economy is based on consumer spending. 70% of our GDP is consumer spending. You would think it's government spending based on the way they've been spending money, and that's part of it, but 70% is on what you do and I do. So the idea is that you put money in people's pockets, and then they spend it on necessities or even non-necessity items. It doesn't make any difference. That money then is a multiplier effect, and that's how the economy trucks along. The first wave of stimulus, and this is the only thing I've ever shamed anybody on, is why did you leave in your bank account? The IU Credit Union president said that the majority of the checks that hit have never left. And you look at who are the members of the credit union, it's people like my age, right? Or older. And they didn't need anything. They didn't want anything. They already had the money to do what they wanted to do. So what I've been telling people, and I've encouraged people to do, is do something with that money. That's what the intent was. So do your part as an American and get that money out of your bank account. Give it to your kids to spend. Spend it on something you've always wanted at your house. It doesn't make any difference to spend the money. But this next wave appears to be directly targeted to people who I know will spend it. People that have incomes under a certain amount, certain industries that need the money the most. So that's what causes this economy to go, and that's the purpose behind the stimulus, to not stop what was already happening, which was a tremendous economy, tremendous consumer sentiment, tremendous consumer spending. The ages and stages of life were fully engaged, whether you're young and starting out or old and slowing down. It was all happening and happening perfectly. And then we bring that to a screeching halt, and what do? You either go into a Great Depression, which we would have gone into. It's amazing how quickly things can turn. The economy dropped 33%. 33% in the second quarter. That's incredible. And I bet you can actually say not just the second quarter. I bet if you go back and look at the first couple of weeks, even into March, you would say, man, this happened, even it's even worse than that, because the second quarter numbers. What about the end of the first quarter? You throw that in, it could be 50%. Who knows? But it was a lot. And that's a lot to recover from. And don't forget, to recover from a 33% dip, you need a pretty substantial recovery just to get back to where you were. And that's why I've been saying all along, I don't think this is going to happen very quickly. In fact, the market has given us a gift of recovery. It said, okay, here it is. We're going to give it back to you. And it happened so quickly. But before all of this, we told people, listen, historically, when you have a drop of 30% or more in the market, which we did, it takes around 2.5 years to get back to even. Not 4 months or 5 months to get back to even, and that's where you find yourself today. I have seen so many people come through our door that had a statement from the end of March and they had another statement from the end of June, and it's like nothing really ever happened. I mean, it bounced right back to where it was at the beginning of the year, especially if they put a few bucks in along the way, which most people have. So we've been this given this gift of recovery. Now what? Now what do you do? Well, that's really the segment of the next story here with Eric Geisler coming. I just look at the clock to make sure I have my timing right. We'll be right back. I'm going to get Big E on the phone. This is Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. It's Your Money with David Hayes, as promised, our fixed income manager and chief compliance officer. Not that that makes any difference for today's show. Joins me live on the phone from up north in Indianapolis, Eric Geisler. Eric, you and I talked about this many times, but back in 2009, I remember when interest rates got really low. You know, we were trying to come out of the Great Recession, and so many people would say, well, they can't stay this low forever. And we're like, well, maybe not forever, but look at Japan, look at other things. Yeah, we think they can stay low for a really long time. And here we stand here today after this self-induced economic coma that we've put ourselves in, a second quarter that dropped in growth by 33%. I don't think it's ever happened before. And I'm like, where can rates go from here? And I'm like, I don't know if they can go lower, but they sure don't seem to be going any higher. You've been in this business for a really long time, and you said this over and over, we've never been here before. This happened during the Great Recession. It's happening now. What's your take on things right now, just in a general statement?
Well, I think that from an investment perspective, from an asset perspective, I think the most unusual thing that we're seeing is that the pricing mechanisms for both bonds and stocks and other assets are no longer functional. We're just absent any real basis for a particular value of a particular asset or asset class. I think that's the most unusual thing, Dave.
Well, I think that, you know, interest rates are a great communicator of what's to come. And when you see rates this low, we're basically saying no growth, no inflation, just, you know, plugging and chugging along. And that's where the disconnect, I think, has come between the realities of where we are economically, interest rate wise, and what the stock market has done. Before you came in, I said, folks, we've been given a gift of recovery. I mean, if you just went through this and you're like, oh my gosh, you know what? You've been given a gift. So now is the time to make the changes. Don't get greedy. Don't let things continue to go on and hope that everything turns out. And we've had upticks in unemployment for a lot of reasons, you know, closures again around the country, employers saying, you know what, I think we don't need all you people, which is happening in a lot of places. You have consumers not getting back to it. Lots going on.
Well, I think the one thing that you've kind of touched on there, but maybe it's not clear, is yes, interest rates generally are a gauge of where there is growth, where there's inflation, where there's productivity in the economy. Unfortunately, we now have an artificial system, that being the Fed, mm-hmm. that is printing dollars and setting the prices for those assets rather than those assets being priced in the market, so to speak, or out in the public markets. It's being done by not just the United States. It's being done all over the world. The central banks are now pricing assets.
Right.
Therein lies the difference, is that we used to be able to say, well, rates are this low, that means growth is going to be terrible, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not exactly true anymore.
Yeah, right. It's all being, like you said, manufactured. And really, that kicked off back in 2008 and 2009 during the Great Recession. It really hasn't changed since. I mean, the Fed has been there to backstop, and the markets believe it can. And that's why you see so much stability and optimism, because it's like, well, the Fed's not going to let us fail, so let's just do this and do that. So what are fixed income managers like you doing right now? I mean, obviously, you know, I sit down with people every day doing the retirement planning process. We have to plan for now and into the future. We have to make certain assumptions. And, you know, there's an old saying, if you assume, that makes a you-know-what out of you and me. And I'm thinking, okay, as we plan forward, What do you think people should use as a reasonable expectation as far as fixed income goes? And what are fixed income managers doing right now with rates so low?
Well, I think the primary thing that they're pricing to is somewhere around that 3%.
Mm-hmm.
A year ago we probably lowered our expectations to around 4.75 and 5%. Well, we're down in the 3 and 3.5 range in terms of generating monthly or semi-annually income. I think what has changed is because of this artificial pricing mechanism, I think people are taking on more risk than maybe they should. And I think that they are looking at credit qualities that are significantly less than something that they would have looked at, say, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. The unique portion of that, or when you believe that you're taking on more risk, I would actually say that right now, one of the least things that I'm worried about is default risk. Most businesses have done, and individual homeowners, they've gone from paying 5, 6, maybe even 7% on their debt, and now you're looking at somewhere between 4.5 and 2.
Right.
So these companies have actually, and individuals for that matter, have improved their debt structures, and they have benefited greatly from the lower interest rates. Unfortunately, that hurts the saver.
Right.
That hurts the person that's on fixed income. You know more about where annuity rates are right now in terms of absolutes, but everything has come down, and I think what you have to do is just lower your expectations. There is no magic out there in terms of earning something extraordinarily high. Because of the demand for income across the board, and you and I've talked about that a lot, the demand for income is enormous, and that has driven the credit spread in. We had a widening there at the beginning of the year that you and I talked about, and things got to where they were spread 300 basis points or approximately 3%, and now you're inside of 100% for a lot of issues.
And folks, what that means is if you have a 10-year treasury, let's say at 1%, and you're getting a 3% spread over that, then you're going to pick up 4% on your fixed income. And what Eric's saying is that's backed up down to like 100 basis points, which is 1%, so pick up 2 to 3%. But to your point, Eric, we have the financial planning software that's very sophisticated, and it brings in assumptions. So I had a couple of clients email, hey, Wim, what's going on? I went on to look at my plan, and now my probability of success has gone down a bunch. Well, we went in and looked. Well, the program automatically adjusted the return expectations based on their current allocation. So as given at the point, if you're 50-50 and half your portfolio is going to earn 3%, and half your portfolio is going to earn, 7 or 8 long-term, let's say. I mean, do the math on that. Now you're in the 4 somewhere, So that's what's happened. So somewhere between 4.5 and 5.5 is probably a pretty decent long-term planning rate. Now, we talked about what doesn't worry you, because I found that interesting, because the 5 largest banks in the U.S. announced mid-July that they've set aside more than $35 billion to prepare for what could be a big wave of defaults. But to your point, cheap money, I mean, at 3% borrowing rate on your 30-year fixed mortgage cost you about $425 a month for every $100,000 you borrowed. So you see a lot of people buying $300,000 and $400,000 houses that you're like, really? And do the math. The payments are the payments. And then, unfortunately, that's what most of Americans buy, is the payment. So you're not worried about defaults. We are worried about long-term fixed income being where it is. But what worries you the most?
What worries me the most is what I would refer to as the COVID economy. As you pointed out earlier in this conversation, you've had unemployment go up, you have a decline in businesses and businesses not actually going belly up. They're just walking away from them because the constraints for them to continue to do business are just too expensive for them. The cities and the urban areas are just going to struggle greatly. I think that just that COVID economy, you know, I've talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think that's my biggest worry, because we've got to go back to work. We can't just keep printing money and supporting, you know, millions of people. Eventually, we've got to put people back to work. And I guess that's my biggest concern.
Yeah, my biggest concern is they're realizing they don't need them back at work, you know? I mean, we've seen that locally with a lot of places. They're saying, well, you know what? This is a good opportunity. And we saw this back in 2008. You know, you go through a really tough recession, and people use it as an opportunity to do the things that they wanted to do, but it was too hard to do. But then they have an excuse, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, I get it. Well, we have a COVID economy. We're completely shut down. Oh, yeah. People are very, responsive to that. If you say, well, we're going to have to cut your hours back because of COVID. Okay, well, I get it. I'm glad I still have a job. Or we're going to have to lay you off. We're going to have to do this. I can't pay my rent or whatever. There's a lot of...
Well, I think America is innovative enough that they... That there is enough innovation and opportunity out there that people will take advantage of the change. It's just that the long-term established businesses that we're so used to, I think, are failing. And I you probably realize this as much as anybody. That, you know, you see it in the commercial real estate numbers, and you see it in the videos of Fifth Avenue, and how are those jobs and how are those businesses going to survive, and some of them aren't, right?
Right, exactly.
That's the reality.
Well, we'll leave it on that. That's more an upbeat, optimistic Eric Geisler, that America is innovative and and could pull their bootstraps up and get after it. So we'll leave it with that. Eric, we appreciate you, and I'm sure I'll be talking to you soon.
Well, thank you for having me, Dave.
All right, have a great one. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more tax-free. More tax-free. Can we make that a chant? We're going to talk about moving your money from taxable to tax-free. But why? More on this. We'll be back. It's Your Money with David Hayes. All right, more tax-free, more tax-free. Let's make a slogan out of that one, right? Well, the question is why? Now, you've heard me say many times, and I'm not going to continue to repeat over and over and over, but maybe I will. Like I said to Keith Klein yesterday, again, people sometimes hear it for the first time only after they've heard it the seventh time. Stephen Covey, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. Read that book. It's a fantastic archive, and I read it when I was in my 20s. And that's why they said we had 7-digit phone numbers, and there's a lot of stuff around 7. But anyway, I believe that you need to hear this a lot to get it into your head. Now, some of you are listening thinking, I've already done it, Hayes. Don't keep beating me over the head. Well, what I'm trying to create is like disciples, like tax-free disciples. So you're the disciple at work. You're the disciple in your family. You're spreading the word. That's the key for this, okay? So the more ammunition I can give you and the more confidence that you have, the better disciple, the more better tax-free disciple that you'll be. I mean, our government is in serious need of money. And the chances are the powers that are looking closely at your retirement savings are getting salivated in their mouth, like, because that's where the low-hanging fruit is. Now, at $30 trillion in debt, which we're going to be there soon, and $1 trillion deficits, at some point when we get back up on our feet, they're going to look each other in the eye in Congress, I hope, and say, hey, we've got to fix this problem, because if we don't, at some point we're going to be swallowed up like Jonah and the whale, right? This thing's going down, and we need to address it sooner than later. And this has been out of control for quite some time, so don't blame it on Clinton. Don't blame it on Bush. Don't blame it on Obama. Don't blame it on Trump. I mean, this has been out of control. When we got our taste of taxes back in 1913, we were hooked. And by the time we got to 1940-something, top marginal rates were 90-plus percent. And even in the 70s, when my mom was trying to raise four kids on her own, working at RCA, then GE, and then ultimately on unemployment and food stamps, her tax rate was 20%. So it's not just the top tax rates, it's all the tax rates that you have to worry about. So with that being said, what can you do about it? Well, listen, there's a lot of taxes out there. There's usage taxes. There are payroll taxes. There's sales tax, sin taxes. There's tariffs, you name it, none of which you can do anything about. The only thing you can do is take care of what you can take care of, and that's income taxes on your retirement account. So I'm begging you to put money into the Roth only. What does that mean? A Roth is where you put money in, tax, you pay the tax when it goes in, and it grows tax-free, comes out tax-free. There's a few little rules you have to follow, but for the most part, that's the way it works. I can't think of a better analogy than the one I've used over and over and over. That is, if you are a farmer, and you had a choice of paying tax on the seed that went into the ground or the harvest that it created, which one would you rather pay the tax on? It's the seed money, silly. Of course it is. That's what a Roth is. Now, here's the opportunity that you have, not only to continue to put money away tax-free, but and for it to grow tax-free, but take money that's already, that you tax-deferred, right? We've been sucked into this idea because you're going to have lower tax rate when you retire, right? Wrong. That's all been thrown out the window. That's what I was taught in 1994 when I first started in this industry. Tax-deferred, pay the tax later. I studied accounting at IU, and let me tell you, the power of tax deferral was a huge thing that was just pounded into our heads. But now it's like, okay, when do you want to pay the tax? At the furthest possible time in the future, or when it's the cheapest? I would rather pay it when it's the cheapest. And we know we have exactly this year and five more. That's why 2025 is such an important year. That's when it all comes to an end and it reverts back to at least where it was. That doesn't keep us up at night. It's where it could go. And when the Congressional Budget Office every single year comes out and says taxes basically have to double for us to just simply pay for what we've already promised, Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, and interest on the debt, that's just four of them sucking up almost all of our current tax revenue. Taxes have to go up. And again, it could be all these things, payroll and sin taxes, sales tax, could be all of those, and that's fine. We're going to have to pay our bill at some point. None of us want a free lunch. We understand that we're borrowing on a credit card to fund everything else. We're borrowing on a credit card to fund the stimulus program. But eventually the credit card company says, you know what, I'm not going to give you any more credit. You're going to max out. And I can tell you that if some point in our lives, our sons' lives, our daughters' lives, our grandkids' lives, the credit card will be maxed out. So I think that Congress, once we get back on our feet, will look each other in the eye and say, listen, we have to do something. And the only thing they can do is raise taxes. They have no other choice. So move money from taxable to tax-free. It's called a conversion. Know where you are in the tax bracket. Know what other unintended consequences extra income could create. And let's get it there. Because why do you do that? Number one, it's for your own spouse if you're married. When you die, two things happen and both are bad. Number one, you're going to lose a check. If you're retired, you will lose one Social Security check at a minimum. Maybe you lose some of your pension if you're fortunate enough to have one. And two, your taxes literally double. Everything you knew as married, filing, joint gets squished in half. All your deductions get cut in half. The brackets get cut in half, all that kind of stuff. What about a wealth transfer? What about to your kids or your grandkids? Wouldn't you much rather them have a tax-free Roth rather than a taxable time bomb in an IRA or 401k? That means they can move that money now. You could leave it in there for your lifetime. And then when you die, they can leave it in their name for 10 years, which could potentially double what's still tax-free. I ran over an insurance product the other day that I thought was pretty cool that actually gives you a 30% bump in value at your death for a 0.55% annual fee. I liked it because you think to yourself, okay, I just paid a 30% tax to move it over. Fine, I get it, pulled the Band-Aid off, I'm done. But when I die, they're going to get 30% back added to their account, which isn't just what I put in, but it's on all the growth as well. That's a pretty good deal. I ran the math on, I liked it. You know, so that's a thought because taxes are going up and you know it, I know it. And like I said to Keith yesterday, I don't care if you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, you're a libertarian, an independent, or have no affiliation at all with a political party, you know math, and you know that it will catch up with us sooner or later. So just have the courage, be a disciple, you do it, talk to your kids about it. And I know it's working. I know it's working because I have had so many people come back and say, I'm only doing the Roth. And I'm talking about people that make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. Or I have my kid doing a Roth. Or I'm a new teacher that we help here at MCCSC, and they sign up for their 403B, and guess what? It's going into the Roth. Or you tell your coworkers, hey, quit doing that. Put it into the Roth and do some Roth conversions. Do it. Do it now. You'll be glad. And really, if you think about it this way, like I've said before, the IRS will thank you now. The U.S. government will thank you now. They'll thank you because, man, they need the revenue now. And you're going to thank yourself and your family later. Let's take a quick break, come back, and get to questions of the week. It's Your Money with David Hayes. Welcome back, everyone. Hey, once again, Saturday at 6th and Morton, the old Hayes Market Building. I'm going to put something on my Facebook page, I think, today. If you're out and about and you want to just see the place, because there has been a massive revitalization of the building, the old Hayes Market Building, stop by and see us. We're going to be out there. There's a handful of young folks moving in. Their parents will be in town. We're going to be there to greet them, give them a little gift, and thank them for shacking up at our new spot. But I have had so many people, including Charlotte Zitler, who I spent about 2 hours with a week ago, enjoyed the heck out of that. She wants to come see it. So I'm like, hey, drive by. If there's too many people for your comfort, move on. You can come back later. But come by and say, hey, and I'd like to see the place, and we're going to just wander around, right? So it should be a fun day. All right, let's do questions of the week. This plays right into what I just talked about. I was listening to Dave Ramsey on the radio. He was talking about hiring your kids and then having them contribute to a Roth IRA. That's a great idea. My son, Will, has been an employee of mine since he was 13 years old. Now, I can't say he's been a very good employee, but he's been an employee, and we've used his wages to contribute to a Roth IRA. Now, what and how much can you put in? Maximum up to what they earn, or $6,000, whichever is greater. What do you think about the market? If we have shutdowns again, what do you think it will look like? Okay, I'm not going to go down that road because Eric and I already talked about that. We've already seen it happening in places in California, other places. It's going to be bad. I mean, the market moves on expectations, which right now it's being, literally driven by a handful of companies. We talked about Weekend at Bernie's last week, and where, it's like the rest of the market might be dead, or a lot of the market might be dead, but there is a few companies with putting a sunglasses on the rest of the market, carrying them around for the Weekend at Bernie's. If you're bored, look it up. It's kind of a fun show to watch. Should I refinance my house? I just did at the first of the year, but can drop my rate by another 0.5%. Well, it depends. I mean, it depends on the cost of refinancing, the time you expect to be in your house. So basically, on a $300,000 loan, let's see, you move from 3.5% to 3%. That saves you about $82 a month, or what's that, about $1,000 a year. If it's going to cost you $1,000 to refinance, or $2,000, and you plan to be there for the next 10 years, sure, it makes sense to do that. Why wouldn't you? That's another easy math problem. Active funds versus index funds. I've always been an indexer. What's your take? Well, I just told you. Index funds are great when the tide is rising all ships, but when it's not, and it's only pointing it to the direction of a few, then you need active management. And to my point, like, I'm not going to mention the particular funds or some of the accounts we run, but when you laser focus in on a more concentrated portfolio of companies, you have benefited greatly. We were looking at one fund manager that we've used over the years. He's up 60% for the year. And you look at the holdings, there's 20 holdings in there, and we're like, well, completely makes sense because of his weightings and all that. And remember, a fund is managing to its objective. So if you own an index fund, it's managed, it's to the index, period. If it's a growth blah, blah, blah fund, that's what it's managing towards. So I think right now, especially right now, you want to be out of things that are not recovering and probably won't for a long time and could, without a ton of stimulus coming their way, go bankrupt. And you need to be with companies that are stable or that will benefit from a COVID-type economy, which we, I think, could be in for quite some time. All right, what else? That's all I have. Last one. I'll try to get this in. Selling a farm and want to know how this is going to work tax-wise. Well, you're going to pay capital gains and recapture depreciation on equipment, all that kind of stuff. But the real question is, what happens if I wait until I die to pass it on? The way the current law states, and I have to say the way the current law states, because this could be another gotcha down the road with us needing more revenues, you receive what's called a stepped-up cost basis. Let's say you paid $100 for something, and now it's worth $1,000. You die, your kids inherit that. They inherit it at the date-of-death value, which is $1,000. They sell it for $1,000. They owe no tax. So that's the way the current law says, but, you know, again, I wouldn't bank my entire life on that. We're going to take a quick break, come back, wrap up the show. This is Your Money with David Hayes. All right, welcome back. Well, it saddens my heart for those of you that know me, know that I have been participating as a coach in youth, Monroe County youth football, off and on, mainly on for the last, oh gosh, long time, long, long time. And Monroe County football decided to fold their tents this year and not have a season because they don't know how to have a season. And at first I was like, come on, we can figure out a way. But then I'm like, all right, we can't. So I'm looking for other ways to do things and get involved. So someone asked me to captain a bass boat on Lake Monroe Sunday for the state tournament for high schoolers. So that's what I'm going to do. The parents are going to drop their kids off at my house on Sunday morning, 5 a.m. sharp. And we're going to head out to Cutright. We're going to launch and try to win that daggum tournament. And unfortunately for them, they do not have the best captain on the lake. So good luck and good fishing to those kids. So I'm excited about that. Excited about a lot of things, working on the book, 2025, The Final Drive. Met with my ghostwriter today. She's kicking me along, helping me just put it together. So I'm hoping to have this thing done in the next couple of months and get it out. I have a sense of urgency to get that out, because if I drag this on too long, that just shortens the window for people to have. You know, I mentioned disciples earlier. If I can put that 2025 book in your hand, it's like having a Bible in your hand. You'll be like a little Gideon walking around, and you're going to be handing these books out, trying to be a disciple for the movement of getting out of the way of higher taxes down the road. Hey, everyone, I hope you have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again next week. Bye-bye.
The preceding program was brought to you by Comprehensive Financial Consultants and CFCI, which is solely responsible for its content. Securities are offered through J.W. Cole Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advice offered through CFCI and J.W. Cole Advisors. J.W. Cole Financial, J.W. Cole Advisors, and CFCI are unaffiliated entities.